Henry?
Hello?
Henry?
Mr. President?
How are you?
I'm just fine. How are you?
Pretty good. I just...
Quite a real battle of words on your hands.
Well, I just wanted to visit with you a little bit and see what you were thinking.
Well?
You see, all this problem the senators are bringing up, and the dread of China, and what they're saying is, beginning with the Times and Lippmann and Fulbright and the others don't quite go as far, but they say that we ought to let the Viet Cong have South Vietnam. Now, that's about the net of it. I don't believe the people see that. I don't think we've got that over, although I think the people support us, but it's going to be very difficult to support the request that Westmoreland comes in with this kind of an attitude among well-intentioned people who are getting pretty well committed.
Yeah.
I don't know. I spent a lot of time with Westmoreland because this thing was worrying me, and I needed to know him pretty well. And I came away feeling very good so far as he's concerned. He is a master strategist, and he has a social consciousness that makes him worthy of the highest responsibilities. And I think he's doing a rather exceptional job if we can do as good a job here.
Yeah.
But I haven't talked to anybody out on the sidelines. They've been grinding me here till 1, 2 o'clock in the morning trying to get these messages out and trying to...
What kind of messages?
Oh, every message in the world, from the economic message to the military supplemental to the program out there for health and agriculture in Vietnam. And we got Key to go along. He's announcing that he's going to have a...
It was very important to have that meeting in Honolulu. I thought that was great.
I thought he was excellent, and Key made a fine speech yesterday in which he announced his elections and forms political parties and sets...
I saw we had him on the cover of Time to back that
thing. Yes, I thought that was very good. But the reason I called you, I just wanted to get your outside thinking of what's happening in that part of the world, what you think about it, what your judgments are, what you would do, and... if you want to bellyache a little bit.
I got no bellyache. I think you're doing right. I think you got to show them that this guerrilla warfare is no good. That you can't win by guerrilla warfare. That's a tough thing to show them, but I think it's got to be showed them. See what I mean?
Yes, I do.
And then, so it is just a question of giving it over to North Vietnam. It's a question of showing that that we can, where we find necessary, we can cope with this very difficult business of guerrilla warfare.
Well, now, we thought...
very mean, nasty thing, and I would hope that you would be on the top of that sooner than most people think.
Westmoreland feels, and we don't dare mention his optimism because we've been burnt by some of McNamara's previous optimism.
Right.
But Westmoreland thinks that he is getting on top of it, and he killed from January the 10th through February the 12th when we were out there, he killed 5,800. He wounded about 15,000 more.
Yeah.
He doesn't think that they can take many months at 20,000 a month.
Yeah.
These folks here are wanting to pass some kind of a resolution. They're making speeches implying they want to put on some amendment to say that, well, we are for what you've done, but don't escalate. Well, now, when Westmoreland asked me for additional men to come in a hurry, I have to give him what I think is prudent and what I can. And, of course, that does involve escalation.
Yeah.
And I've got the snipers all over the place, and they don't really understand it, but they're giving us the devil.
Yeah, I can see that. Well, I think that the right answer to that, one is that you have that since you're not going to just hand over the territory to the guerrillas and so on, the most economical way of doing it in lies is to do it as fast as possible.
That's what we're doing.
Yeah. And that means more firepower in a shorter time is more economical than extending the firepower over a much longer period. See what I mean?
I sure do. That's his theory.
Well, I think that's the kind of that's I think that's right in almost any kind of a human situation.
Well, Henry, we just moved.
If you're going to do something, you may as well go. Really go at it instead of fiddling around.
Well, Henry, we tried to hope that the 700,000 Vietnamese could hold the situation and take care of it without without any strong body commitments on our part.
Yeah.
But last July, that became evident that couldn't be done.
Yeah.
So since July, we have, with unusual efficiency, moved in enough men where we're costing them $15,000 to $20,000 a month now.
Yeah, that's true. I think it's wonderful. That's right.
I think we've moved with dispatch and with a...
broken that logistical jam now?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We've got it down where the normal unloading of the ships is about 60 and we only got 30 in port now.
Yeah.
We headed up to 100 and something, but that will happen when you're shoving it as fast as we were shoving it.
Sure.
And everybody blames it on everybody else. But if you try to get out three magazines on Sunday and the date was Tuesday when you're supposed to get them out, why, you're going to run over somebody and have some wrecks.
Yeah.
And that's what we did. What do you think...
It's a little ironic that McNamara got caught on that one, though.
Well...
A little ironic, see, because see, even if he isn't supposed to be a military man, he's supposed to have all these brains logistically.
Well...
I'm only making this point in passing.
Yes, I think that's right. Although, the one thing that a good many didn't understand, that he was ahead of himself. He got his goods there before he got ready for them. And you can't just time that. So a good many of the... generals preferred to keep the stuff in ship in harbor than to move it out on the place, and that was another contribution. And when he needed it moved out, when they got ready where they could receive it, they moved it quickly. But he has transformed that little country, I mean, in bases and installations and thing, and in 6 months that's a hell of a job.
In the last since you resumed bombing in the north, what I read in the paper, that's all I know. It sounds like it isn't very much.
Well, the weather, you see, the only reason we had to pause, really, actually, we figured that 90% of the time we couldn't bomb anyway. And if we could take that time and transfer it into Laos, where we needed it more than we did to even North Vietnam at that moment. To interrupt them, we could get cake and eat it too. We could get credit with the world with the pause, but the pause wouldn't have any effect unless it looked like we were making some sacrifice. And we were making some, but it wasn't the sacrifice that everybody thought it was. So what we're doing, the report this morning shows that we had 300 and something that were due to fly yesterday, and there's only 67 could get off, and most of them had to be diverted to Laos on account of weather. The weather is very bad there all the time.
All the time?
Yes, sir. We are getting very little in there, and will for the next, probably the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Well, is it a seasonal thing?
Yes, sir, seasonal, monsoon.
I didn't know they came, I thought they came, well.
Well, you see, when it gets back, what it does now.
Monsoon is really, not doesn't come around until August.
Well,
July, August.
In this area, it does. Soon as we get through there, when it opens up there, the latter part of February, it will be worse on the other routes over in Laos. It'll start there. It's a shifting thing. It's like you've got bad weather in the south and it's sunshining in New York. And then when it moves on out of the south, it gets to New York. And the weather moves out there on us. And the reason the reason we were not being very effective, we would not have seriously considered stopping something that was productive for 37 days.
Well, my most present attitude on this is, I think next week, we're a little slow, we couldn't do it this week. We aim to have a major editorial in life saying, now it's fine that they had all this talk now that all the argument's over, we're all for argument. They're saying, now, just get down to business, get the job done.
Yeah.
That's going to be our reply as soon as Mr. Fulbright is all through.
What do you think about the threat from China how much do we need to be worried in your judgment?
Well, that of course is a tough one. China, I would say that Peking is very much on the spot. They're on the spot. A hell of a lot more on the spot than we are, in my opinion. What to do and how to do it. And I would think that they would feed down in the bodies, workmen and so on, but I doubt if they would send organized units. In other words, I would doubt whether they would do anything which would justify you in attacking them.
Well,
you see what I mean?
That's our feeling. That's the best judgment here.
Yeah.
That's the best judgment of the people who have studied it. Did you see Taylor's appearance?
I just saw part of it, yes. What about your estimate of Hanoi, Ho Chi Minh?
Well, we think that we are putting a very heavy strain on him.
Yeah.
We think that he's got problems that are more serious than ours in his own ranks. We think that he has put his stack in pretty well in South Vietnam already. He's got some of his best people and his generals there. We think that he is much better prepared on his air defenses than he was 6 months ago. We think that if he tries to keep coming for the next 6 months, that he will suffer unbelievable and unsufferable losses.
I don't think he can do it for more than 6 months.
And we are just trying to keep ourselves united and organized to do it. Now, if we were suffering defeats and we were losing and the casualties were extraordinary,
yeah,
I could understand the great dissatisfaction.
Yeah.
But since we're winning, and since we have suffered no real military reverses, and since all of our movements have been effective, I don't quite understand how they build up. And you have the traditional mountain states, and you have the.
Let me cut in on there. I think I can. If you're worried about the why, I think the why is this. That it's the difference between between Europe and Asia. Now, in regard to the West, regarding Europe, however much isolationism there might be, and you're just about old enough to remember when a lot of people out west there were still fighting the Revolutionary War, you know?
Yeah.
You know, the damn British and so on.
Sure.
See? But still, Europe was the white man, see?
Yeah.
The West, and therefore, when it really came down to it, to have to get in with our men and treasure and fight for the West to overcome to fight what we thought was the last war, Hitler, who of course was much worse than Kaiser Bill, but even Kaiser Bill, when they came in there, we had to fix up Europe. Now people just don't feel today that Asia. Is that we have the same ties and responsibilities to Asia, or that we suffer the same consequences. They don't come out and say this, but in my opinion, since this is in the back of the whole thing, what are we going to do with a bunch of yellow men and Chinamen and God knows who, who are not any part of our Western civilization? Do you follow me?
Oh, yes, I think that's true.
I think that's psychologically at the bottom.
I agree with that.
Mr. Morris isn't going to say it. He's going to love humanity, see? Or anybody else is going to love humanity, but there's not the same visceral loyalty to maintain a kind of civilization over there than we have for the West.
I agree with that.
I think that's the psychological unspoken thing. I'm trying to work on something along that line to get that spoken somehow.
Yeah.
It's very difficult. But I think that's the basis of it. And then, of course, the thing about MacArthur saying, don't get bogged down in China. Well, in the first place, I don't believe he ever said it. Not until he certainly didn't say it until he was a very old man. But anyway, whether or not he said it, a lot of people have said it. as if Asia is just one big amorphous mass of people that aren't, I won't say they're not human, but anyway, what have we got to do with them, see? I think that's the... You even had to argue, what do we have to do with the Europeans?